Hello, people in the crowded room and on the internets. Hello. Really nice that you're here, even though you're maybe heading to the gala and it's a bit small. But I'm here to talk about points. Like I just said, I thought when I drafted the talk that 3.6 million points sounds fancy. But this morning when the OmniSci guys were talking about 100 billion points, then I thought that well, let's like consider it billions and it sounds better. Yeah, but what I learned, so what I do, on Twitter I look like that, and in reality, this is reality. I work at a company called Gizpo. We're 9 people based in Helsinki, Finland, and we do Phosphor G consulting. Look, so all kinds of stuff that you see here, we do that type of thing. I post stuff on Twitter quite a lot, so you can find me there. And also this hobby project type of thing that I'm going to talk here was there, and I got a lot of good feedback and good tips from there. So thank you for the people who contributed in this. But yeah, presentation content, I'm going to keep it pretty simple. So first, I'm going to present what's it about. Then I'm going to present how I executed all of it. And then I'm going to like draw some fancy conclusions out of it. So the problem, or I don't know if it was an actual problem, but to start with, there was elections, parliamentary elections in Finland this spring. And because I make maps, I work with GIS, I wanted to make election maps, because election maps are really like, they're fun to do, informative, and yeah, election maps. So usually the election results are shown on a municipal level. There are 311 municipalities in Finland, and some of them are pretty big. But the smallest area is a voting district. So they're kind of like, they're a bit like postal code areas. So they're kind of like areas, but they're not. And they have stupid things in them. They might not be continuous. But I wanted to make maps with those areas. But those areas aren't available. Like few cities share them openly. But on a country level, they're not there. So I had to create them. And how I did that was that there is point data. So there are the address points from the whole country are as open data. So I had to convert those. I guess some people have executed similar type of things in other countries with, for example, address points and postal code areas. So those points to areas. So this is the very nice open data page that we have in Finland, and there is it's available to all one of those. As in all countries all over the world, you can't never have enough open data portals. It's like you always need a few more, but this is like the official one, and it has the country points from the whole country. The address points from the whole country. So I downloaded them. I have been using them also before. So this is like the slide background, but those are actual points. And this is Finland. So that's yeah, exactly. That's Russia, and that's the Baltic Sea. And as you can see, it's not really like the quality of the I knew already beforehand that the quality of the data is not optimal, so I had to do something with it. But the funny thing is that it's a well-known data set for having certain type of problems, because the data originates from the municipalities, and some municipalities have more high quality data than others, and then when I colored and examined them a bit, it seemed like some had really high quality points, and then it might be that one municipality has these, and the data, there is some originally some manual input, so the coordinates might be the wrong way around. So all kinds of typical bad bad quality GIS data problems that you might encounter. So, but there was an attribute with the which voting area it belongs to. So I loaded them to PostGIS like already saw before, dragged them QGIS, colored them by voting area. Then I was looking at the points and I was thinking, yeah, this is doable. This looks promising. I can manage. I looked it on the country level. You can't see even the Russian points anymore. I was still thinking, yeah, I can distinguish the areas there. So I'm gonna manage. So I was using my most typical tools that I think for majority this is the ones that you use also. The data was in PostGIS, and I was visualizing it with QGIS. Can you see anything? Not really. Okay. It's more bad quality data this time in polygons. So what I did first is that I just drew convex hulls for all the polygons. So it looked really bad. And this is slightly more cleaned version. So my first iteration of cleaning the data was that I joined it with municipality polygons and compared the attributes in there and cleaned the ones which didn't drop inside a municipality, because I knew that the municipality polygons were good quality. So that was a one way to clean the data at first, but still it didn't look quite good. I tried concave hulls. So this is Helsinki. It looks, again, quite okay. But then I thought that I want a continuous area. This is a snapping operation from hell to get this, get all of those gaps away from there. So I was like trying to figure out how could I do that. Then I tried a different approach. I thought that maybe I'll do a grid and then select like the most typical voting area in each grid. So, for example, here there might be 10 points and 9 of them are one voting area and then the others are something else. So, yeah, but it didn't work out either. It was a stupid idea. But then some of you might already been thinking at this stage, why didn't you start with Voronoi's? It might have been the sensible thing from the very start. So Voronoi's are these areas that when points are here, it's like the most... I would describe it in a way that it's the area that each point owns. This is actually an animation I did. Those are train traffic in Finland, and I tried like an animated Voronoi earlier, but it was just like a nice thing to put in here. Isn't in any way related to the voting areas as we wanted to put it in. Okay. Again, looks messy, but those are Voronoi's. When I started to experiment with the Voronoi's, first I did like a quick test with the QGIS Voronoi processing. It works pretty okay for 100 points and 1,000 points, and even for 10,000, yeah, it could be done. But then, like above that, no surprisingly, the execution time is unknown. But then, surprisingly, also when I tried it in PostGIS, I noticed that the execution time grew exponentially when the amount of points grew. So this is like it looks like I have the whole country now in Voronoi's, but actually it's made in batches, so it might be 100 here, 100 here, so it isn't still continuous. Yeah, so I was kind of stuck because I think I once waited like 8 hours to for the query to finish, but it didn't, and I didn't find any kind of solution from the internet. But then I had like a talk about this in Finland in a, like an OSGeo meetup, and then I got a tip from an older colleague that more experienced. Have you tried it? Yeah, Jukka, who was also in the conference, he asked me. He said to me that yeah, I already did that like a few years ago, and he asked, have you tried that Open Jump? And I had heard about Open Jump. Maybe somebody came into the talk because they saw Open Jump in the title, but this was the first time I opened Open Jump. So I have like my all Open Jump experience is this hobby project. So then I went, I loaded Open Jump. Well, basically, it's like a desktop GIS application. I also noticed that it's on the OSGeo Live, so worth testing it out. But basically, I was checking it out. What can you do with it? And I was reading this is the same stuff that I do with QGIS. Why would this work? Well, basically, it's a Java-based application. I could give it a lot of RAM. I gave it a lot of RAM. And then, in less than 10 minutes, I have the polygons. Okay, so then after this, I clipped them, and I thought, yeah, now we're close. But actually, it wasn't so clean after all. So this was actually maybe the most painful part to get rid of these, like because there could be some really small areas. And some really big areas, so there couldn't be just like a threshold under which I could delete the small ones, because in cities there could be small areas, but I knew that there have to be like single polygons, and I did some. This was also a part, like all of these parts are something that I post this on Twitter, then someone comments that you should try this out and. You should have done it this way, and this was also one. So I wrote some SQL because this is a cool tech conference. I have a black background with a green SQL, but I'm not going to bore you with it. I'm going to explain what I did in PostGIS. So for the messy polygons, I used a window function to sort the pieces, like all the mess by area, and then if it wasn't the biggest piece in the group. Then I selected the closest piece that it's inside or it's close to. I used a lateral join and then gave the ID of that closest big area to it and did a union. Might sound confusing, but here's what I ended up with. So. This is like a good screenshot. They weren't so. It didn't work out on all areas, but I was pretty pleased how it turned out. Because this is, I feel like this was one of those issues that it sounds like much easier task to clean the. Because of course I couldn't clean those manually. So I was pretty happy with this. So I had the areas. So I did some maps. Those are different political parties. Based on their popularity, that's a cartogram with the different parties' popularity. This is like a QGIS visualization demo now. Then I did with a QGIS atlas. I went through all the regions in Finland, and here's actually, I think in this kind of visualizations, it really brought out. The use of having really small and detailed areas, so you could distinguish stuff inside cities that previously wasn't possible because I only had the municipalities as the most detailed level. And I also did a graph, an experimental PostGIS to OpenOffice visualization where each there are 2,000 of the area, 2,000 voting areas, and it basically shows the popularity in each. So basically, if it's like a really flat graph, it means that throughout the country it's pretty popular. And if it's like really steep, it means that there are a few areas where it's really popular, and then a lot of areas where nobody votes for them. that party. I'm not going to bore you with Finnish politics and what's what. And this is another example of like a liberal and a conservative politician comparing those inside Helsinki. You can't really see the colors well, but it distinguishes different kind of things. So what I learned in a nutshell, go beyond your normal stack. I pounded my head to the wall with PostGIS and QGIS for a pretty long time. I tried something new and bam. Ask for help. It's pretty useful. And that's like a, there hasn't been enough community hype in the conference so far. So I'm going to like say that that's the whole idea of the open community, that you ask for help, you share your results, and then somebody else is. It requires some like gut to share your wrong or non-ready results to get the feedback, but it's worth it. And then I got this conclusion when I was writing the slides, but I think it's the best conclusion so far. So open data, which the address points are, should always have a working upstream. So I noticed a lot of mistakes in the data, but so what? Like it's impossible for me to, I think there are a lot of organizations and companies in Finland who have reported the same mistakes, but it isn't like it doesn't go up in the original data. So I think there are a lot of people who will do the same corrections again and again and again. So if somebody's a data owner publishing data, plan it ahead that there's a way for you to accept corrections to your data. That's really vital. All right. Thanks a lot for listening.
Okay, we have some time for questions. Please wait for the microphone to pose your question. Ooh, such a large audience. Ah, finally.
just a question. Is it working? Yeah. So did you consider ever like do some clustering, like k-means clustering on the points directly? Or to move to rasters and then to use, I don't know, reclass area from grass and remove the clumps and stuff?
That's something I didn't consider. it's an interesting approach, but it wasn't like moving to raster or something. It wasn't, but I tried out quite many things, but actually if someone has a good idea why the PostGIS Voronoi is so, like, why it works the way it works, I'm interested in hearing.
Having run into the same issues like you, I can suggest Euclidean distance in rasters, helping making this one also on a large scale. This is working. Also performant.
Okay.
Compared to the vector approach.
Okay, thanks.
More questions or comments? Take your time. Don't be scared. The room is full, but everyone is welcome.
They are mostly Finns here, so that's why they're silent.
Ah,
so.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fine. That's totally fine.
I'm inviting you to bore us with Finnish politics. What did you learn from these maps? Was there some insight into political patterns in Finland that you could see once you made the map?
Yeah, so the question is about...
Go ahead.
Yeah, the question is about Finnish politics and Finnish political geography in a nutshell. From these maps, I learned some pretty obvious stuff. For example, Finland is has two official languages, Finland and Finnish and Swedish, and the Swedish part is like you can expect them to vote for the like the Swedish speaking parties or a party. That's not surprising, but more interesting is the like in many other countries, especially in Europe, other right wing conservative type of parties. Where are people voting those more and well, I didn't get an answer for why, but where at least. I got some idea for that. That was interesting to me at least.
And where?
Where? All around the country. Yeah, it's not like rural areas or cities, but it's all around the country, pretty evenly.
I don't know about the Finnish open data, but did you consider in Estonia? I did kind of similar thing, but on the opposite side, I made an application for the local governments where they can draw the voting districts and things. But one consideration was to use the cataster areas, so from addresses to catasters and from then to the areas.
Yeah. I at some point I already had like 40 gigabytes of cadaster data on my disk, and I did some experiments with that too. But and cadaster data would have produced like nicer boundaries than Voronoi's. But it was on my list, but it didn't make it to the finals.
We still have some time.
To continue on your cadaster thing, so. I've also been doing this kind of stuff for the Netherlands.
You have a bit more addresses than we do.
Yeah, that is true. The problem with cadaster is partials is that you get gaps where there are no addresses, and then you need to solve that. So it's you just move your problem to another area. Yeah, and I wanted to cut them with hard lines. So you define a hard line of a road or water or whatever. Then I discovered that there are no hard lines which are single, like multi-lane roads. So then my problem now is how to create proper hard lines. If anyone knows how to make hard lines.
Yeah, this is like a problem that I think quite many people have been struggling with and try to find an optimal solution.
All right, we'll close it there. The session will resume at 5:00. Thank you very much, Tupi.
Thank you.